in prayerful meditation for this service this evening, my mind was directed to the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel, chapter 15. What would be the greatest thing that could happen in the incoming year? I think the greatest thing that could happen in the incoming year would be that God's people would so be filled by the Spirit of God that the incoming year they would all bear much fruit for Jesus Christ. That would revolutionize the church. That would revolutionize the homes of God's people. And it would revolutionize the whole world. And my mind was turned to this 15th chapter of John's Gospel. And in this Gospel, we have seven designations given of the people of God. In the picture of the true vine, which is a type of the Savior. The Father of Christ, the husbandman. The branches of the vine, the people of God. And the fruit of their work for Christ is the vine itself and the grape. And I want to take with you a brief look at the branches. And first of all, if you look with me at verse 2, you'll find there is such a thing connected with the true vine, and it's a worthless branch. It says here, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. A worthless branch. As you sit in God's house tonight, and as you think of the year that's gone, and you think of the year that is to come, where you in the past year a worthy branch, or were you a worthless branch? This worthless branch, what happened to it? It says, it did not bear fruit. It should have been weighed down with the wonderful grapes that grew upon that vine, for this is the true vine, a type of the people of God working for God. But instead of that, there was no fruit. And the branch was taken away. Who took it away? Not the men that are mentioned further down in this text, but the Father himself. He took it away. The worthless branch. And of course, as I read the scripture, I see the result of sin depicted in the life of the people of God. And I discover that some people die early because God had to take them away. You read about that in 1 John 5:16. And then we read what Paul spoke of in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians as sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for that, as sin unto death. And then again in 1 Corinthians 9:27, an unusable vessel, a reject, something made to do the job, but it didn't do the job. And so the Lord removed it. These are solemn, stern, and awful warnings to our soul. Are we going to be a worthless branch in the days that lie ahead of us and in this new year about to break upon? Are we going to bear leaves instead of fruit? Are we going to be a blight on the church and on our home and on our country instead of a blessing? Are we going to miss out as far as the husbandman is concerned, and he finds no fruit and he finds a branch that is a worthless branch? But look with me again at verse 2, and you'll find there is the working branch, the great contrast between the worthless branch and the working branch. Every branch which beareth fruit, what happens? The Father purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. Here we have a branch that has borne fruit. But the tender hand of the great tender keeper of the true vine comes, and he takes the knife for purging. He comes, and he commits an operation upon that branch that is bearing fruit, so that it might bring forth more fruit. God's blessing on the child of God is to increase his capability to produce more and more fruit to the glory of Christ, to the work of the church, and the salvation of souls. The working branch. How much in this last year were you a working branch of the vine? What fruit did you really bear? What victories did you really gain? What amount of praying did you do? What amount of Bible study did you do? And what was your testimony to the world around you? Were you a working branch? But then, as we come to verse 3, we find those words, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And we have here the worked on branch. Great and good Father has come, and He's worked upon it. And so we have this working branch, become a worked on branch. What for? To bring it to a place of blessing that is symbolized with the word to bear more fruit and to bear much fruit. God wants to lead us from the place of blessing to a deeper blessing and to a still deeper blessing and till the blessing is as deep as our soul can carry it. D.L. Moody, what was he? A shoe seller. He sold shoes in the great city of Chicago. And then God saved him. And he knew he could never talk to older people, so he talked to children. And he started up the largest Sunday school that ever was seen in the world. He had 2,000 children in Sunday school, and he was always looking for more. And one day, he saw a very nice-looking wee girl, about 7 years of age, with lovely, blonde, curly hair, and he went up to her, and he said, "Would you come to my Sunday school?" And she smiled so sweetly. She said, "Yes, sir. Where is your Sunday school?" And he told her where the Sunday school was. And he said, "I'll look out for you on Sunday." And when Sunday came, D.L. Moody stood at the front of the great hall looking for one little girl. He had hundreds there, but there was one soul upon his heart, but she never turned up. And for 6 weeks he stood at the door, and she never came. And one day he was sitting on the top of a tram car, and he saw that little girl standing at the corner of the street. And he rose, he ran down the steps, he nearly killed himself jumping on that off that tram, and he ran after the little girl, and she started to run too. And she went up one street, and down another street, and up an alleyway, and into a backyard, and through a house, and out through the front door, and on, and Moody after everywhere she went. And then she went into a liquor shop, and Moody went into the liquor shop after her. And she ran up the stairs of the liquor shop, and Moody went after her up the stairs. And she went into a bedroom on the top floor and dived under the bed, and Moody dived under the bed after. And he pulled her out. And he said, "You didn't come to my Sunday school." And he said, "That day I pulled that little girl out from under the bed, I pulled her father and her mother and all her family into the kingdom of God. And they became the best workers that Moody ever had in his church in Chicago. What happened? God had got a man, and that man was purged that he might bear much fruit. And the much fruit was born in the will of God. God can do that in your life and in my life. But please look with me further, and you will find not only the worthless branch, and the working branch, and the worked on branch, but you'll find the willing branch. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. That word rest, that word abide means be at home with me. Are you at home with Jesus Christ? You say that, preacher's a strange question to ask me. But that's the question. Are you really at home with him? You'll not be at home with Christ if your love is for the things of the world. You'll not be at home with Jesus Christ if you're not totally and absolutely and altogether dedicated to the Savior. He doesn't want half your heart. He doesn't want half your talents. He doesn't want half your affection. He wants you all. When he went to the cross, he didn't say, I'll give half my love to Ian Paisley. He gave it all. He didn't say, I'll give half my blood for him. Gave it all. And the Lord who gave it all for us, we need to give our all to him. We need to be a willing branch. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. And then we together will know the blessing of God. The willing branch abiding in Christ. But then notice, please, this is a wonder branch. Because it says here that this branch cannot bear fruit except that abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth, not more fruit, but much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And let me say something. You can't make yourself spiritual. But Christ can make you spiritual. He is the only one who can do it. You can't make yourself a soul winner. But Christ can make you a soul winner. You can't make yourself a mighty person in prayer. But Christ can make you a mighty person in prayer. Without me, ye can do nothing. The wonder branch. We don't have many of them in the church today. We don't have many of them in the Lord's work today. There seems to be a desire for the things of the world. I am the things of the flesh. I am the things of the devil rather than a total and absolute love of the things that pertain to Christ. Old Dr. John Gill said this, nothing that is spiritually good, no, not anything at all, be it little or great, easy or difficult to be performed, we cannot accomplish even that. We cannot think a good thought if we're not inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. We cannot do a good action except we are prompted by the power of the Spirit of God. We can neither begin a good action, nor can we perfect that good action. Only the Spirit of God can enable us to do anything that will bring honor and glory and power to the Savior who died for us on the cross. Without me, ye can do nothing. But the worthless branch can become a wonder branch. And the branch is cut off and thrown into the fire by men can be taken and plucked as a brand from the burning and be a weapon in the hands of God for the destruction of the devil and his working and the deliverance of sinners from his grip. The wonder branch. I am the true vine. All through the Gospels, the word true is used. We read about the true light. We read about the true bread. We read about the things that are true in God's Word. And I'd advise you to take your concordance and look up that word true and notice, please, how many times it occurs. And the things of Christ always have the adjective of being the true thing, the true sanctuary. The true bread, the true water of life. God wants us to be majors in the things that are true. Oh, that God would help us to see that He can make wonder branches of every one of us. His grace is sufficient. His power is overwhelming. And He wills that we should be at our best for Him. No wonder the hymn writer cried out, let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. But if you look at verse 6, you have the other side of the coin. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. What an epitaph to be put on the gravestone of a child of God. And yet many children of God, that is how they finished, because they lost out on the work that they should have been doing for Christ. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth. He's rejected. Doesn't mean he's damned, because the other scripture tells us he will be saved so as by fire, but all his works will be burned. Are you going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and see all your works that you did for the Lord all burned up. Wood! Hay! Stubble! These go down to the very basis of our work for the Lord. And we need to see to it this night that we cease from being a useless branch, a fruitless branch. And we want to be the branch that brings honor and glory to the Lord Himself. Yes, and the branch here is wasted. It's wasted. All in the end. Saved, but service was never given. Loved, but the love was never returned. Lifted, but the hand of the person who was lifted never really lifted a hand to serve the Lord. This is a sad story. But as you go down the chapter, you have the reviving of the Christian because he's brought back to the Father's love. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Ye are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. Christ is commanding us not to be a worthless branch, but to be a working branch, to be a worked on branch, to be a willing branch, to be a wonder branch, not to be a withered branch or a wasted branch. Which is it going to be tonight? Are we going to start this new year the way we've always started, with good resolutions that soon were broken and laid as rejects after a few days of a new year upon which we enter? Or are we going to ask God to so baptize us with the power of His Spirit that we will go for God as we never went for God before, that we'll follow hard after Him, that we'll be like the great John Wesley, out of breath running after Jesus? Have you been ever out of breath running after your Lord? Have you? And the man that runs after Christ and gets out of breath, he'll be running after sinners and he'll be getting out of breath, because he's eager to get man and woman to Christ. I trust you will take that chapter and look at it again. There are many, as I was looking at it this afternoon, I was amazed about the depth of that 15th chapter. And remember, over that chapter hung the shadow of dark Gethsemane. Christ went from saying those words to the darkness of Gethsemane. And he went from the darkness of Gethsemane to the darkness of the judgment hall of the priests. And that was the first place that he was spat upon. The first spittle that disfigured Christ before the cross was the spittle of the religious world. It wasn't the soldiers that first spit upon him. It was the priests of Judah that first spat upon Christ. Remember that. And remember that chapter was before the awful and bloody cross that Jesus Christ had to hang upon. Stained with his blood, that cross was. And he himself, with all the strain upon his body, cried out, "All my bones are out of joint." It is in the light of that we should consider these solemn words, and may God give us the grace and the help and the power to be different in the new year, to go for it with all our hearts, and to pray God, and I quote that word again, "Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God." May the torch of heaven, burning with the oil of the Spirit, touch our cold, sinful hearts this night. And may God lift us from carelessness and worldliness and sinfulness and selfishness. And may God give us a dedication of mind and heart and purpose. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And God will take you on and will make your life a changed life. Make your life a more blessed life and give you something else. The reward of service. And the reward of service is not a crown of gold. The reward of service is not some diamond in our crown in heaven. The reward of service is just to feel his hand and hear him say, "You are mine, and I am yours, forever and forever." And as you hear those whispered words of the Son of God in the depths of your conscience and heart, earth will change. The things that once enticed you to be cold and worldly will be removed. And you'll come into the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. May God work in all our hearts. We're going to bow our heads and we're going to have a time of prayer, silent prayer together as we enter this new year. And may we pray that God will give us some of the things that he has revealed to us in this book this evening. In Jesus' name, let's be in silent prayer. O God, our Father, we thank thee for bringing us to this new year. And we thank thee for speaking to our hearts this night in this house. And we pray that each of us will stand at that cross and will give ourselves to thee. 'Tis all that we can do. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And may we see in this very house in which we meet great times of revival blessing, times from the presence of God, And oh God, we pray it may be true of us that we will abide in thee, and thou wilt abide in us, and we shall bear much fruit. Be with the sick members of our congregation. Be with the bereaved members of our congregation. Be with the whole church family and the Free Presbyterian church family, both here and around the world, and grant upon them may come the quickening power of God the Holy Ghost. And to thee alone, shall all the blessing be. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Shake hands with your neighbors and wish them God's richest blessing in this coming year. And I would like to wish you all that. And may God make us firebrands for Himself.